Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
All right, it's always nervous when somebody says, I just want to be real with you. You don't know what's coming, right? So I want to be real with you about Bobby, but I don't have enough time. I thought about which stories and how many stories to tell. But I tell you, we've been in Africa, and I just got back a couple weeks ago. And in Africa, if you don't preach about 2 hours, you've wasted their time. So I learned early on that, boy, you're going to have to. I was preaching and did my 45-minute American sermon, which I think they're 35 now, but anyway. And at the end, I was walking down, and this woman in the back, kind of an elderly woman, and maybe in her 60s, that's not so elderly, right, 60s? Chip, we're good, right? I mean, that's the young people, right? She's in the youth group. But anyway, she was speaking a language I didn't understand, so I didn't know what was going on, and she was not super happy. And I asked the pastor, what's going on? And she said, well, she's not happy that you're finished already. Now, this has never happened to me in America. You know what I'm saying? This never, ever happens. And I said, I don't understand. And she goes, well, she walked 2 hours to get here. And for 45 minutes, she feels like she's wasted her time. So it's a different world. And just to calm your fears, even though I just got back 2 weeks ago, and this is the first church I've preached in since I've been there, so it takes me a minute to, and no, I'm just kidding. I understand time. But we have been in Zambia for several years, a first term with the International Mission Board. And in that time, the Lord opened many doors for us there. And so Christy and I had to move back to America for just a lot of family reasons and life. But we have a nonprofit called Charis, Charis. It's the Greek word for grace. Charis in Action, and that's our website, charisinaction.org. But we go back and forth. We have a seminary, a Bible school, which really the number one issue for Africa this day is a biblical and theological training. So we have that for our pastors. We have a network of churches. And then those churches go out as the pastors go out and plant wherever we plant. Or raise up pastors in those areas, whether it's village, city, communities. We simply ask one question, where is the kingdom of God not being experienced in this place? So one of the first things was a village when the head man of this village came up to me. And as I was just walking around, prayer walking one day with some guys, is there a church needed here? Because that's ultimately we want everything to go through the church. We want Jesus to be the hero. We want the church to be the hero. The head man said, 50% of our babies are dying at birth. Is there anything you can do? Now, sometimes when you go to developing countries and you're a doctor and you walk in and they introduce you as Dr. something, well, I mean, Dr. Todd Stewart, that's my name. But they immediately think doctor, like, and all sick people start coming to you and you're like, I'm not that kind of doctor, you know. And they're like, well, you're not going to heal anybody? And it's like, this is a really embarrassing moment because anyway. But he asked, hey, 50% of our babies are dying. Is there anything you can do? I'll give you all the resources we have, which is people. We can bake bricks to build a clinic or something. Well, that was 5 years ago, and now the Lord has blessed us with that head man and even the chief himself that we got to meet last time we were there. That's a big deal in that country. And they've given us about 17 acres to just bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth in that place. And so now those are things we do as we send in the shortest way I can say. We send our pastors out making disciples, sharing the gospel, growing churches, of course, planting churches, but then looking around their community just as we are to do here. Where's the kingdom of God not happening in Bluffton? Because Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. Where is heaven not happening here? That's the life on purpose. Asking those questions intentionally. How do we care about, how do we love our neighbor here? This is where we are, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The Lord has allowed us to go to the ends of the earth and partner with you. And it's so good to see friends like Bobby and his wife, Shira, that we've known for 20 years. Sounds like a long time, Bobby. I couldn't beat you at tennis anymore, I don't think. But to see Chip, and I know Sharon is not here, but to see them again, and Stephen, I saw Stephen Bell. Yeah, there he is. So it's just good to be able to start building relationships here, and we're excited about a partnership. So let's take our Bibles, and I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. We're going to jump around the Bible because I have several things that I want to communicate with you today as it relates to hearing from God, listening to God. You've been in Isaiah, and in that passage in Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8, we know the story. Isaiah's having this incredible worship moment in the council room. His lips are touched with a burning coal, and I'm undone. Forgive me. And then the Lord says, who shall I send and who will go for us? And we know Isaiah says, here am I, send me. What a statement. So for us, we're going to focus today on the Lord saying, who am I? Or whom shall I send? And to say, well, is that for Isaiah or is that for me? Is the Lord speaking to me or is this just for other people? And if I'm a believer, a kingdom citizen, what part of the kingdom has he saved me for? Because he didn't save me just to go to heaven or I'd already be there. So he saved me not to get me to heaven, but to get heaven to earth. And so what is my purposeful kingdom assignment? And you say, well, I don't have a kingdom assignment. Well, then you're not saved. Because you've been saved to download the Holy Spirit in you, give you gifts and all of this Holy Spirit life so that you can embrace your kingdom assignment. And you're well done, good and faithful servant, at the end when we're with our King, will come based on how well we embraced and how faithfully we embraced our kingdom assignment. So in this question as if God's speaking to me, how are we listening? And today focusing on how do I listen on purpose? I think there's a misunderstanding of listening to God. It seems to be some subjective, supernatural, I think I heard the voice of God, I'm not sure. Oh Lord, he's cute, she's cute, should I marry them? Oh my gosh, this job pays more, should I take this job? It seems that God leads whenever my life is better off doing those things. So the Lord seems to lead me to this job when it pays more and gives me more vacation. Praise the Lord. And if she's cute, it's the Lord's will. I'm telling you, it's the Lord's will. I'm like, I just tell my youth and college people, don't even pray about dating. Just don't pray, because whatever you want is what the Lord is saying. You ever notice that, right? So how do we hear the Lord? Well, I think the first question is, and I'm just going to try to take us on a little dot-to-dot journey today. Who do I listen to? I'm praying. And is there some mysterious voice that's coming to me? Lord, should I do McDonald's or Burger King? Which one? Like, what am I praying for? And is there something that I have to hear before I do it. And is that the normal path of what it means to be a Christian? Well, first of all, who do I listen to? Because Isaiah is listening to God. There's no Bible. He's hearing from the Lord. He's a prophet. And in the old days, the prophet would hear from Yahweh. Yahweh would speak to the prophet, and then the prophet would speak to the people. That was their Bible. But here we are today. What is happening today? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And I love that the Bible answers all the questions I'm going to ask today and really answers all the questions we have. And so Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, whoever the writer of Hebrews is, says this: long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Verse 1, amen. We see that in Isaiah, right? You've been looking at that, I believe, over these last few weeks. God spoke to the prophets. When? Long ago. You with me? Long ago. But now, oh, praise God. But now, in these last days, what are the last days? Basically, every day since Jesus ascended back to heaven are the last days. So here we are in the last days. And in these last days, he has spoken to us by his, what? By his son, Jesus. Long ago, they heard from the prophets when they wanted to hear from God. But now, he's spoken through his son. You with me? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 28 and we'll sit there. I'm going to go into John a little bit, and these might pop up on the screen, but just for time to turn to all of them. So today we're listening to Jesus. Today, these last days, we're listening to Jesus, and those who will follow Jesus will listen to him and hear him. We see in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. So, okay, I gotta listen. I'm listening. I don't hear his voice. Maybe I'm not a sheep. When's the last time you heard the voice of Jesus? Does that mean you're not a sheep? Or is his voice something different than we've been saying in this mysterious kind of way? In Matthew 13, verse 9, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And at the end of telling the story of, in this parable of the sower, he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Okay, well, wait a minute. Jesus, they all just heard. You just told the story to everyone. What do you mean, he who has ears, let him hear? They all just heard. Or did they? Maybe this is the point. Maybe Jesus is speaking and not everyone is listening or hearing. You see, this is not some subjective voice that can only be heard by the spiritually mature. And someday, if we get there, we'll be able to pray and open our eyes. And Lord, just write yes or no on the wall when I open up. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing. Why doesn't Jesus speak to me? But maybe it's not what you thought. You said, I thought it was some mystical Holy Spirit voice that super close to God folks can hear. And Jesus said, even speaking of the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus says, the helper, then he defines the helper, the Holy Spirit that's about to come. I'm leaving, the Holy Spirit is coming. You'll never be without someone. You've got help. Why does Jesus call the Holy Spirit a helper? Because we need help. You say, well, I need help. Good, you got a helper. That's why he came, to help you. But here Jesus says, here's what he does. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So what's the Holy Spirit's role? At least a big part of his role is to teach you what Jesus said, the Son. He's going to bring to your remembrance all of those things. So here's the big thing in this idea of How do I listen, or who do I listen to? I listen to Jesus, but here's what we learn. Everyone hears, but not everyone hears. How is that true? I mean, whatever I preach today, there'll be four or five or six people go out and say, man, the Lord really spoke to me today. So, da, 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 da. Why didn't everyone have that? Is there something about the receptive nature of the soil? I think so. That's another sermon. So who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. Well, what did he say? If I'm to listen to Jesus, what did he say? Perhaps we like the idea that we're praying for something and we never hear it, then we don't have to obey nothing. Or I could read the four Gospels and know everything. Let's do it. Matthew 28. Jesus is leaving his last message to the people. Of course, if you have some kind of missionary show up at your church, you've got to read the Great Commission, right? I think it's like, if we don't, we think we're going to hell. I don't know what it is, but this is Jesus at the end. And he says, 18, 19, and 20, chapter 28, all authority has been given to me. Now, this is so important. We just sang a song about all powers and dominions and thrones. Do you know who those thrones and powers and dominions are? They're the spiritual bad guys. Paul talks about them. Thrones, rulers of this, principalities. There are spiritual bad guys all over the place, and people are worshiping them. You say, what do you mean they're worshiping? Nobody's worshiping. They're worshiping. If they're not worshiping and they have believing loyalty to Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the authority is his. If they don't have believing loyalty in the King of Kings, then they're worshiping and believing and giving loyalty to the spiritual bad guys. There aren't 20 choices. There are two. Where's your allegiance? All authority, Jesus said, has been given to me in heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus prayed, I want to bring heaven to earth. In the Garden of Eden, heaven and earth were there. They touched. Yahweh sat on his throne. He had a spiritual family, the heavenly host. He wanted to create a human family and everybody live happily ever after. Didn't happen. The authority was given to the bad guys after sin. Jesus came and took it back. All authority has been given to me in heaven, in the spiritual realm, the unseen realm, and on earth. You don't have to worry about anything. There's no reason for worry and anxiety in these things. The King of Kings has all authority. And he's given it to you. And I'm like, I wouldn't do that. I mean, the first time you gave it to us people, we botched the whole thing. And what is God saying? There was never a plan B. We're going to run this thing back. Now I'm giving it to those who follow my son. Listen to my son. Know my son. Obey my son. You have authority. Now, because of this, go and make disciples of Judea, all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always. Isn't this something? Teaching them to obey. Years ago, the Lord really popped this out. Like it's there. Everyone's read it 100 times, especially in an evangelical world. Teaching them to obey. But everything I'd been a part of in the area of discipleship was teaching people to know. teaching them to think, teaching them to believe something. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says teaching them to obey. Maybe I should be walking around not asking people if they know Jesus, but are you obeying Jesus? Well, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm doing the best I can. What does that mean, the best you can? Are you making disciples of all nations? Are you reaching your people? Are you sharing the, you know, we talk like this. We just flutter unintentionally, lack of purpose in the area of this. Teaching them to obey. All I have commanded you. Oh my goodness, all means all, doesn't it? And if you make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, then we have the promise. I will be with you always. People walk around all the time asking me, I just don't sense the Lord's presence. I don't sense Jesus' presence. I don't sense the Holy Spirit's presence. I don't. Or are you making disciples? No. Well, the promise is attached. The promise is attached to the obedience. He's there. He wants to help. What? He wants to help you do what he's commanded you to do. If you're going to lay on your couch and watch TV all day, you probably don't need the help of the Holy Spirit. You've got it. Back to the fridge and back to the couch. Holy Spirit's not needed to help that. He's needed to help you bring heaven to earth. And as you do that, he will be with you. Dallas Willard, one of my favorite authors, he wrote, in many of our Christian circles, we have substituted the message of Christ with a message about Christ. Now think about that. Let that sink in just a minute. We've substituted the message of Christ. What did he say? With a message about Christ. He's born of a virgin. Those are important things. But we teach a lot about Christ. What did he say? And what do we need to obey based on what he said? What does it mean to hear his voice? Well, I just think hear his voice, listen to his voice. And if you've been married, you know the difference between those two things. My wife's talking. A lot. She's talking a lot. And she says, do you hear me? I say, yes. How can I not hear? There's a lot of it. There's a lot of words. And then she says, no. I'm not asking you if you heard. I'm asking you if you're, say with me, husband, are you listening? Well, no, honey, the truth is I'm not listening. I'm here, but I'm not. Here it is, right? This is Jesus. You heard it, but are you listening? And through the listening now, then do I know what's being said, and I obey. All of that is in this listening on purpose, hearing on purpose. Obey all he commanded. Okay, so what did he say? Well, we just read the Great Commission. This is the last thing he says in the book of Matthew before he ascends. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 4 and just start going through everything that he taught. Think we can get through that in a... No, we cannot. So we're going to highlight. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus gives his first sermon. 9 words. Wouldn't that be great? Came to church. He only spoke 9 words and we went home. It was a great day. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. It's near. That's his introduction. I'm on the scene. The king is here. All nations are now included, not just the Jews. This is going global. This is going bigger. All authority has been given to me. I'm the king. I'm here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's now available to all people. Then in verse 19, if you keep going in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 19, he gathers his team. And he goes to the disciples, these fishermen who aren't disciples yet. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So he has his mandate here, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have kind of the mission, the tagline here. And then we have, he's got to get a team. What's the church? It's a team, hopefully. Who are the disciples? We've got to have a team because we've got a strategy, which he gives us in verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. In chapter 9, verse 35, same thing. Same verse reappears, chapter 9, verse 35. He went throughout all the region, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. Whoa. Something is in this verse that years ago I had never heard in my life. And I got angry at first because I'm like, why didn't anybody ever tell me? How many of you have ever heard of the gospel? You heard the word gospel? Everybody? Yeah. What's the gospel of the kingdom? I've been teaching the gospel up to that point. But Jesus went about teaching the gospel of the kingdom. And I realized we weren't teaching the same gospel. Jesus was teaching something very different than I was teaching. Whoa. What is this? I mean, you've heard preachers say that all the time. We need to go out and share the gospel. Teach the gospel, preach the gospel, share the gospel. How many times have you heard, share the gospel of the kingdom? And is the gospel of the kingdom different than the gospel? And I would say, it is. So what's Jesus doing that perhaps is different than what we have believed for so long? First of all, it's very clear, right? Teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. It's very clear. The kingdom of God. And then he's healing every disease and sickness. He's providing the opportunity for the demonstration of this gospel of the kingdom. Wow. Well, I walk around and pray for people to be healed, but I don't see a lot of people getting healed like the moment I pray. Every affliction and every disease, this is Jesus. But something very important is happening in the gospel of the kingdom that's different than when we just say the gospel. You see, when we talk about the gospel, we know what it is. Jesus came. We were what? We're sinners. Separated from God, Jesus comes. I deserve to die on the cross, but Jesus took my place. And if I believe and confess my sins and ask forgiveness and repent and believe on him, I will be saved. Amen. That's the gospel, right? Yeah. But is that the gospel of the kingdom? This is something, isn't it? Well, when you go back to the Great Commission, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's that gospel thing, right? Let's get people saved. There's evangelism in this path. But what's the second part of that? Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. It's not one path, it's two. And not that we've overemphasized, I would say we haven't emphasized enough the gospel of getting people saved. You don't lessen that. But how imbalanced are we in teaching people to obey all things? And holding them accountable to that. And speaking of, or what we might say here, you have the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom is the proclamation of the gospel and the demonstration of the gospel. Where's the kingdom not happening? See, sick people aren't in the kingdom. Sick people are not in the kingdom. Healed people are in the kingdom. Jesus is modeling the kingdom for us. Love God, but equally what? Love your neighbor. How neighborly am I? Jesus was asked by a lawyer, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus didn't say, believe on me, I was born of a virgin, died on a cross, believe in me and you'll be saved. What does he say? He tells the story of a man who's been robbed and beaten and left for dead. Two religious people walk by, ignore him. The Samaritan guy walks by, helps him. We know him as the good Samaritan. Takes him to a hotel, pays for his medical care and his overnight stay and his food and new clothes. And Jesus said, do that. And you'll live. Well, wait a minute. The gospel says I'm saved by grace. Yes. And what would a person who's saved by grace heart look like? That. It's not the entrance into the kingdom to be a good Samaritan. The entrance into the kingdom is by grace. But that gospel's just entrance into the kingdom. It's not the kingdom life. Teaching them to obey all things I have commanded is the kingdom life. That's not your entrance. That's your evidence that you're a kingdom citizen. We have the Sermon on the Mount. You want to know what the kingdom life is like? Because we can't go through everything today. Just read the Sermon on the Mount. Read the parables. And then Jesus closes it all out in one of my favorite chapters, Matthew 25. And he says, there's a kingdom prepared for you. This is really interesting. Let's see if we can get that in here. We're going to close with this. He's talking about the end. He's talking about the end. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. What nations? The nations we've led to Christ. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. He said,
Verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's two kingdoms, both prepared. One's prepared for the sheep, one's prepared for the goats. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Seek first the kingdom of God. King Jesus is my priority. King Jesus is my authority. His kingdom is my priority. And that's the life of a disciple. King Jesus is my authority. His kingdom is my priority. You can read all of Matthew and all of Mark and all of Luke and all of John and hear from Jesus. He's now, God is now speaking through who? His Son. It's right here. Read it. Hear it. Listen. Know it. And obey it. Amen. Father, we love you and bless you. Thank you for this opportunity to be together. Lord Jesus, you are a good Father. And we thank you for loving us. We thank you for speaking to us. Lord, you speak to us every day. Word. Sometimes you speak in other ways, but Lord, we hear all that you have commanded. And all that you have commanded is in these Gospels. Lord, touch our hearts and let us hear. Listen and know and obey. I pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.